It's the anointings going up. Today we are so privileged to have personal friends of mine that have brought a very unique and powerful message to the body of Christ. We have been able to host them several times here on the coast. And some of our ladies have connected with our speaker today through women's conferences in the area. And I call them the Apostles of Forgiveness. And the insight that they have brought has literally changed my life, because they gave me an understanding that I didn't have before, that is sort of implicit in the scriptures. And would you welcome Becky Deal as she comes and shares with us what God is doing in her life? Would you give her up? Give Becky Deal a big, Mendocino welcome. A little more. You're going to be right here, so.
We had a lot of stuff.
Oh, that's good. We love stuff.
We love stuff. Okay.
Have to get that closer.
What?
The mic needs to be closer.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm not that loud, unless I'm calling to Steve, and then I'm really loud, right, hon? Because we have important things to say. I just want to say what a joy to be here, just to be here, like with you. I am just so overwhelmed, and just God has his own plan of what's going to happen next, right? We don't even know what that is, and I just feel like I'm just in that wave, just trying to surf the wave of where he's bringing me. I don't know if you feel that with this COVID going on, but for me, for sure. I'll just start out with who I am, because some of you don't know me. I am the oldest of four girls from a family that really wanted to love the Lord, struggled in some areas, and have all come back to the Lord. In that journey, I've got to learn a lot of forgiveness, and they've got to learn a lot of forgiveness. We didn't all deal with it very well. I have a sister that struggled with handicap from the time she was born, which meant that we were in and out of hospitals and so forth. I had I get two. Look at that. I got to pretend like I'm talking to Steve from the other room. I have my own journey as well. You know, when you're hurt and you go through things, I was like another mother to my sister who went through all her handicaps. So then I felt like I lost out on some of my own childhood. I don't know if you've gone through any of those kinds of things. Had some of my own abuses, not necessarily from my own family, but from other places, and had to work through some healing and some real soul-searching heart changes in myself. The person that I was, I did not really even like who I was to some degree because of those changes in me originally, before Christ got a hold of me. And I'm sure that those things ended up in our marriage and in our relationships all around, which actually, in the end, created forgiveness ministries. You probably didn't realize that. But some of those things, you think that you're this great Christian person changing, and you don't realize that all this subtlety is just like oozing out everywhere from your own fears and your own disappointments in life and the things that didn't go quite right. I mean, my dad left my mom for my mom's best friend, and that destroyed our family. But then my dad came back to the Lord, and that showed me that you can come back and you can have restoration, you can have life, you can have it in a whole different way. Just recently, you know, so we have six kids, just so you know that, you probably already know that. You see the worn-ness going on here. I have the breakdown of life, we call it, and the building up of life, because then the grandchildren come, so then it's the building up of life, right? So I feel rejuvenated. We just had grandkids come to visit us over here at the coast. We were staying at a Westport beach, and that was just so great. So we have eight and a bonus two now grandchildren, so we have 10 grandchildren. So we are blessed beyond blessed, I will tell you that. In my life, we made a choice to move across the street from my parents. So I live across the street from my parents. I didn't think that was going to work out so well when we first moved in. Because, you know, you carry a journey with your family, right? But God has solved that. She's like my best friend. And even now texting, we're like, I can't get a hold of you. How are we going to talk? You know, we haven't talked in 2 days, you know. So God is so good. And I just want you to know, He's the God of restoration. He is the God of restoration. And He has no, I don't care what your journey is, He is the God of restoration. And He has that for you. I think one of the things that has formed my life is one verse that I'm going to actually start out with. And it's, you, O God, will make known to me the ways of life. You will enrapture me, infusing my soul with your joy and your presence. And that's in Acts 2:28. And that particular verse, I never thought that I could be to the places where you'd feel joy. Especially when you get to the depths of places you didn't know you were going to be. I'm sorry, I didn't realize I was going to be so emotional. We started out with a great year of our 40th anniversary going to Disney World to celebrate. 2 days after we were there, COVID hit, so we all came home, which was fine. I mean, that was, you know, everybody lost so much in COVID. I'm not complaining about that, but it was just showing you the heights and the lows. And then in May, we found out that I have breast cancer. And that was so unexpected because I was not on any of the charts for any of the things going on for breast cancer. And I kept saying that, why? You know, when something happens, you say, why is this happening, right? What could I have done to prevent this? Did I do something wrong? Did they do something wrong? Did somebody do something wrong? Why is this happening? Has God forgotten me? All of those questions that come up. And during that period of time, it was kind of a soul searching to some degree. But I found that I was so much at peace, I couldn't figure out why I was not asking more of the why. I was at the very beginning, I was asking my doctor, why is this happening? She goes, you need to stop asking why. Asking why is not going to answer your question because we don't know why. It could have just happened just to happen, like one cell just kind of decided to go off in a direction. You need to stop asking that question. So we started asking God, Steve and I together, praying and saying, Lord, take this. Maybe this is your way of showing your miracle, showing yourself, you know, what the world is all about in your healing. Part of my journey this last couple years, and I've shared this a little bit in some of my women's groups, is to learn how to be vulnerable, learn how to be more vulnerable. I've learned how to be some vulnerable with my story, some of my abuse, some of my things that I've gone through, but not my own health. I've kept that private for myself. And I know that you probably do that too. It's a very private thing. I've gone through a lot of skin cancers over the last several years. I haven't really told a lot of people that. It's been very painful and very, not melanoma, everything else. I would call myself a patchwork quilt at this point because I love the sun so much that now I was paying for it. But one of the things that God has told me, he says, your ministry and your life and who you are, just your testimony of who you are, is not going to amount to anything unless you learn to become vulnerable with me first. Me first. Everything straight out, including how you feel about yourself on every level. And I will tell you, this has hit that spot for me, okay? You know, I like to be put together, right? I don't want to be caught in that weird spot where you know, the terrible dream where you all of a sudden you're in your underwear kind of thing. You know, I don't like those kind. Those things stress me out on to no level, right? Well, now I'm caught with no hair. When I heard it was really windy today, I thought, uh-oh, what if my weight comes off? You know, like, so when you're put in a spot where God can work with you and God can do great things, know that you will be in a vulnerable spot. Because when you are in control, you are in control. You're not letting God be in control. And I will tell you that this whole journey has been all about God being in control and not in me. You know the verses where it says, pray three times. I prayed three times, and then God said, he didn't answer, right? Well, we did that. We prayed and we laid the fleece before God and said, if you want to heal this, astound the doctors. I'm going to the doctors today. Just all of a sudden, you can't find this lump, right? Well, that didn't happen in our case. And I had to revert back to some of the things that I have told women in the past, and I may have even told you this, if you've asked God for something very important in your life, and I know you're all at different places and have lost things, I can't even imagine what you've lost. And God has said no, or he has said nothing, which means not now, right? That doesn't mean not later, and that doesn't mean not something bigger. That means that he trusts you with something bigger. He's not going to take the simple solution. He's not going to ride in on a white horse, right? He uses a donkey. He goes a whole nother direction. And it's something bigger. It's something more grand than you can even imagine. And he's trusting you with that. That's a big thing. He's trusting you with that part of the journey. Don't miss out on any iota of it. Not one drop that he has for you. Because he has something very, very special he's going to do. I've already seen things that have happened in my family so far with my kids and their walk with the Lord. I've just seen the sweetness of them calling to God in different ways that I couldn't have imagined or even figured out how to help them come to God closer. God knows all the pieces. I wouldn't expect to be up here today, even telling you my journey. God is so good. Amen. Let's say that again. God is so good.
Amen.
And God loves you more than you even know. Like, part of the reason why I read you that verse is because God's love is so unconditional. It is so pursuing. It is so devoted. You are actually being marinated in it every day if you take the chance. I say be marinated in every day if you take the chance, if you take the time, if you take the energy to be able to see what God sees in you. This time has given me plenty of time to listen to God because of this journey, and we're now going through, we went through a mastectomy, we went through the whole journey of finding out there's a lump bigger than we thought. There was little lumps. Anyway, we had to do a mastectomy. So that was a whole journey of itself, the loss. What are you losing? What am I losing? What is sin robbing me of? This wasn't God's plan, right? Disease is not God's plan. Disease is part of sin. It came at the fall. God's plan is healing, whether now in my body or he's going to heal my body eventually. I do know that, right? But that's part of our fight, and that's what you feel every day. God wants you to feel his love every day. In the middle of that fight, you're going to feel it coming in, robbing you, stealing what God has designed for you to have. Even my hair. Oh my gosh, that was so emotional for me, zipping off our hair. Steve and I had a couple good laughs about it. Humor goes a long ways, but I'll tell you, something that God has given you as a gift and it's being taken away, that's a hard thing. It rubs at your feeling of your dignity, and I'm sure you felt all those things in your own losses. But God is going to be, he's the restorer, remember? He is the restorer. He's the unconditional lover. He's going to continue to pursue you. Excuse me. And he's going to restore you to what he feels is best. And he's going to use your story if you're willing not to lose a drop. There was a time where a couple girls' friends came over and we did this distancing thing like you're doing here on my patio. And they had brought me some food and we talked. And they said, aren't you upset about all this? You don't seem like you're upset about it. And I was like, yes, I'm grieving. I went through a grieving process. I've cried. You just haven't seen me crying before the Lord of what I'm losing. But at the same time, I know God's doing something bigger. Something bigger than me. And I'm not going to miss out on one little drop of whatever this is. Right? By sitting and whining about it, I'm missing out. I'm spending time over here when I could be spending time with God. And I've learned so much about myself. It's almost embarrassing to see the things that you learn. But what you do learn is that God loves you unconditionally, and He's there with you. You are never alone. There's not one moment when you are alone, not one. You know, if you have the Holy Spirit with you, when you say you're alone, that's an insult to the Holy God. Why? Because the Holy Spirit's living inside of you. Right? You are never alone. Kick that devil out when he says that. You are never, ever alone, and God is with you. So one of the, I just want to kind of go through, there's like five things that I do that are kind of every day, and I just kind of want to give you what those things are so you kind of have tools. I'm not going to go into them. They're things we actually teach in forgiveness if you're interested, and it's all the same principles. We just apply them to forgiveness. I just use them as every day. One of which is to see the unconditional love of God. The next one is to see what God sees, to see truth. When you can identify the difference between truth and fallacy and lies, when they come in at you and they say you're alone, you say, no, devil, I'm not alone. I have the Holy Spirit within me. You see what God sees. You live that spiritual truth. You have spiritual eyes in a way that you can actually start to live that out. So the first one would be unconditional love. The second one would be see what God sees. See the truth that God sees. And learn to be vulnerable in that truth. Don't hide from it. Learn to be vulnerable because he loves you. The third one is to really learn to feel what he feels. Don't ignore those feelings of grief and anger and frustration that come in, that sin is robbing you. God feels that too. Remember at the cross? All of that anguish and anger, that was directed at sin. God wants to comfort you. He wants to give you the things that you need, the desires of your heart. He wants you to feel his closeness and feel his compassion and the things you've been robbed of. You might even need to stop and grieve with him over those things. Your head and your heart, what you see and what you feel, need to come together in truth. That's a big piece in those two pieces. So the first one is God's unconditional love. The second one is to see what God sees. It's truth. Identify truth. The third one is to feel what he feels. Identify with him emotionally. He wants to grieve with you and help you be a whole person again. And to rejoice and have joy and have peace, right? That's what I'm having in the midst of all this stuff, right? And the fourth one is to really learn how to condemn what God condemns. And that means identifying sin and saying, this is deserving of hell, and this is why Jesus had to come, right? To identify that this is a penalty to be paid, not just to be shoved under the bed. I just don't push that away. That's something that Jesus had to come and die for, to condemn what God condemns. See sin the way God sees sin. And then the fifth one is to find justice in it all. I have a lot of friends, I even know somebody who's lost their legs. My son-in-law is a quadriplegic, and they have three miracle babies, by the way. The third one's just born, for some of you who know my family, and that's a whole miracle story we can talk about later. But he's a quadriplegic. I never hear an angry word about his situation out of his mouth ever. You know why? You know why? He sees these things. He sees who God is in his life. He's being Jesus in a wheelchair to his world. Are you being Jesus in a wheelchair to your world, in your situation, in your place right now, in your COVID situation, in your lack of work, in your lack of health, in your lack of family? Maybe you've lost a loved one. Are you being Jesus to your world in those situations? That's a hard place to be, but unless you unsee God's unconditional love, right? You won't feel it. Unless you see his truth, you won't see it. Unless you feel him, you will feel he's far away. If you don't condemn your sin, you're just going to let it stay there. Jesus came to make it right at the cross. That's what he did. He came. He paid for all this sin and stuff that's destroying your life. He paid for that. Hallelujah. We need to rejoice in that like it's really happened. Right? Amen. Can I get an amen? Amen. Now, if you had doing all these things, like I run through my day. I just kind of run through all these things. You're going to love like God loves because you're going to see God the same way he is seeing, right? You're going to see life through spiritual eyes. And you're going to start to live life like Christ is living, if he was living in you. And that's what I just really wanted to tell you today. I have a couple verses and things that I actually have done to help me heal, because I have people who actually ask me, what have you done to help yourself heal? And I have a journal. So I'm just going to read to you some of the things I've done to help myself heal, and I'm going to kind of close it with that and a couple verses, okay? Read and meditate on truth and the Bible. Read devotionals. Listen to podcasts, music, and others who know the truth, who can proclaim it. Go over the Psalms. Use them as living examples of how to love and praise God. Put in the place of evil pursuing me as cancer pursuing me, and put in God's answers to help. And in that situation, you can do whatever it is that you feel like is evil is pursuing you. Put that in there in the Psalms, right there. Like, because we always say, well, I don't have any enemy chasing me. Yes, you do. That's the evil. That's the sin that's chasing you. Put that in there so you'll know what's chasing you, and you identify it and put it on the cross, right? 3. Be around holy and uplifting people. Be around people who are going to bring you closer to Jesus. If you have people who are bringing you farther away from Jesus, pray for them, but don't make them your tight people. You need to maybe distance yourself and pray for them. Remember God's faithfulness, the things he's done before, his love. Even look at your journal and remember the things that he's done. Talk with others about their stories so you remember his truths and his faithfulness to other people. Let his truth and his life be real in your life so you can feel it. If you feel like you can't feel God right now, go next to somebody who does feel God close. Hear their stories of truth of what's happening in their life, and you will feel it. Create an environment for health, whether it's creative, whether it's just resting, whether you need nourishment, whether you need just solitude, whether you need other people. Make sure that your general needs are met. Because when you're tired, you're going to be more apt to listen to the lies of life. Make sure that your general needs are met. Ask for help. There are people that want to love you and want to help you. When you try to isolate yourself because of past sins in your journey, other people will hurt me, they won't understand, all of these kinds of things, you're going to isolate yourself from God, because these are God's people, and God's people want to love you. You know, I have felt this, I have this thing that I feel continually. It's called a song of love around me right now. I feel like a song of praise is just being sung circles around me. Because I've been vulnerable and I've reached out to so many people and I have so many people praying for me. You need that too. Reach out, be vulnerable, ask for help. Live my life with a grateful heart. Remember to be grateful for all the little things in life every day. Don't get caught up in the things I don't have. Whether my eyes are weepy, or I have sores in my mouth, or now I have sores on my legs and on my arms. There's so many things with chemo that are just hell and back. I can't even go there. But be grateful for the things you do have, and you'll be surprised at how the things that you don't have kind of just blow away in the wind. It's amazing. Don't condemn yourself. Period. All of that went on Christ at the cross. You have no reason to condemn yourself. If Christ is for you, who is against you? It might just be yourself. That's an eye-opening experience right there. I have a couple verses I'm going to read, and then I'm going to close. I hope this has been a blessing. Chemo brain, sorry. Can you hear me? It's really windy. I'm going to start out with the first one, which I read to you. You, O God, will make known to me the ways of life. You will enrapture me, infusing my soul with joy and your presence. Acts 2:28. Psalm 16:11. You will show me the path of life, and your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. For I am the Lord your God, who takes hold of your right hand and says to you, do not fear, I will help you. That's Isaiah 41:13. Psalm 73:23. I am continually with you. You hold me by my right hand. Hear this right hand thing? That's the important hand. That's the hand of strength. That's the hand of comfort. That's the hand that will hold you and sustain you. Be strong and be courageous. Do not fear or be in dread of them. I put cancer. Be in dread of them, meaning cancer. Praise the Lord, and your God goes with you and will not leave you or forsake you. Deuteronomy 31:6. May your unfailing love rest upon us, O Lord, even as we put our hope in you. Psalm 33:22. Trust in him at all times. Your people pour out your heart before him. You are refuge, O God, before us. Psalm 62:8. Lord, can I just pray? Lord, we just thank you for today, and we thank you that you are ever present. You are our joy. You are our peace. You are holding on to our right hand. We never have reason to even fear with holding on to your right hand, Lord. But Lord, we thank you that we can come to you at any time with any vulnerable peace we have, knowing that you are will uplift us, you will withhold us, hold us high in your arms, and take care of every need that we have. Lord, I just thank you for this sweet, sweet time with my brothers and sisters, that we were able to just talk of your joy and your life and what you've done at the cross through beautiful Jesus. Lord, we just love you and thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Stay up here, Becky.
Steve, Becky's husband, to join us up here. And we're going to pray for Becky. We're going to pray for Steve. If you would like to join this prayer, I ask you to come to a mic. One of the things that prompted me to ask Becky to share is that I believe this lady has a connection with heaven that's uncommon. It's probably because of the many things she's suffered, but she's always, as we know, it's not what happens to us, but how we respond. Isn't this amazing? Can we give this lady a hand?